The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11.
The Mayor of the City of Greater Geelong, Councillor Stephanie Asher, is on the line. Councillor, good morning.
Good morning, Mitchell. How are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks for being on the program. It's an interesting time at the moment with, of course, Geelong ending its streak as being COVID-free yesterday with a new case, but not quite as bad as other parts of the state.
A bit worrying what we're seeing, the numbers in Melbourne, isn't it?
It is. What do you think will happen? I mean, there's potential to go back to a statewide lockdown or to have certain LGAs locked down. Is it fair for Geelong businesses to be penalised because of LGAs in Melbourne that are doing it tough?
Look, I think we literally are all in this together, and we're only an hour away from Melbourne, and our numbers haven't been particularly low either. So we're certainly following the state advice and keeping what the state government's suggesting. I think it'd be different for Warrnambool, et cetera. I'd suggest, you know, some of the other smaller towns may have a different case, but I think Geelong is, we're sort of teetering on that edge, and I think conservative approach is probably better for us.
Although I see in your column in the newspaper today, there's some concern around school holidays and the fact there's a big influx of people down to the coast, and you're urging people to adhere to the 1.5 metre social distancing.
Absolutely, yeah. We've certainly seen a lot of people down Ocean Grove, Barwon Heads and the Bellarine. And I think, look, people down here are being really, really good with it. I see a lot of people behaving as they should, keeping the distance. I know local people do adhere to the hygiene requirements as well. Quite different to Melbourne, apparently. Had a couple of people go up to Melbourne recently and said, you know, that people are packing in on the trams and certainly not keeping that distance. So I think we're actually doing a good job down here.
Now, in terms of tonight's council meeting, it looks like there's a few interesting items on the agenda.
There are. It's going to be a really exciting 30 June. Of course it has to be, doesn't it? End of financial year.
So,
yep, budget's going up. We've got our third COVID package, support package, which is a very broad support package we're trying to provide and ensure that tourism and events are supported, heritage, arts and culture, the industries that have been really hard hit. Also the community, obviously, trying to keep some community morale up there, and the businesses, as you say, the businesses that have been hard hit with things like commercial rent relief and those sorts of things, and international students are getting a bit of a hand as well. So assuming and hoping that we all are on the same page with it, then we should see some really good outcomes from tonight's meeting.
And in terms of the budget, have we been able to determine what the impacts to the budget are going to be as a result of COVID-19?
Well, it does depend on what is voted in tonight. So it'll be somewhere between 1.7 and I think roughly $5 million further deficit. So, and an impact on that budget. But we knew that that was going to happen, and that was the decision by the council, was to make sure that the spend was about stimulating the economy. Massive capital works program, record capital works expenditure, $161 million, and supporting people who are in difficulty with the COVID. So that was absolutely the focus for this budget. It is a recovery budget.
And I read that there's talk about whether or not there should be a pay rise or a pay freeze and how that should be handled. Is that up for discussion tonight as well?
Absolutely. Councillor Aitken's brought this to the Chamber, and he would be the first to acknowledge that this has been an idea that's been floated by a few councillors in the last 6 months. So he's proposing that we freeze the normal allowance increase and urge the new council to do the same. And the CEO has also come to the party, and he's requested a freeze on his salary for 12 months as well from the 1st of July. So certainly the council and the sort of executive level are making sure that we are part of it as well and not taking any increases in allowances.
So that affects the councillors' wages as well as the senior officers within council, is that right?
That's correct, yep.
So is that a big impact to the budget if you put that on hold, or is it more of a symbolic, you know, we're all in this together thing?
Look, it's enough. It's a few hundred thousand. So, you know, every little bit makes a difference. But, yeah, it is a gesture of support to the community as well. Unlike, I think, Surf Coast took a rate increase, a pay increase, and we decided to do the opposite and not take one.
Is it tough as a council to vote on your own pay? Because I know politicians usually outsource that to some sort of independent tribunal.
Yeah, look, I think this is part of it. You know, we are trying to show that we are involved, we are getting our hands dirty, and we're prepared to feel some of the pain as well. So, yeah, when it's something like this, it's quite an easy one to be involved in. I think to vote yourself an increase would probably be a little less of a breeze. But, yeah, this one's easy.
In terms of the reopening of facilities, is there much new to report? I see, you know, barbecues, the fish cleaning tables, water fountains, they're still closed, but the other facilities are open. How is it all going? Is the whole booking system working and dealing with the restricted numbers?
Yeah, look, I think it's working well. It was a bit of a bumpy start from what I gather. A lot of people hit the phone lines at the same time, but the team certainly got it working smoothly now. The big news is gyms reopen tomorrow. Again, limited numbers, and you do need to book, but that'll be great news for people. Even though the weather's beautiful to get outside and exercise now, the gyms being open will be good. And, of course, the National Wool Museum Gallery opened on Saturday too, so some more things to do in school holidays, which is great. One of the things that might come up tonight as inclusion in the COVID package is keeping Cardinia Pool at the outdoor heated 50-metre pool open during winter too. We'll probably be voting on that tonight, so that'll be good news if it gets in.
So that's usually closed during winter time, is it?
It's typically closed, yep. But it's been open for the month of June, and it's actually, the figures show that it's the most popular pool. So everybody's loving swimming in the crispy mornings with the steam coming off the pool, I gather. So we've budgeted and included that as an option for tonight.
Must be unpleasant to get out.
Yeah, I think if you swim hard enough, it's not so bad.
But, yeah, in terms of the pools, I suppose you've got to have more pools online to try and spread the load given the number restrictions.
Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely right. And it's a different product as well. You know, some people do want to have an indoor smaller pool and a warmer pool. Other people, I know people love having a 50-metre outdoor heated year-round pool. That's what the community want in Drysdale. That's what they've been pushing for, certainly the Bellarine. So, yeah, that product is proving really popular.
Free parking, that's been in place for a few months. Is that drawing to a close tonight?
Well, that's another thing that's up for discussion tonight. So if anybody wants to tune in and watch us on the live stream,
might
it should
have
be
to.
Quite a lively debate about that. So I can't say whether it will or it won't, obviously, at this stage, but it's certainly going to be considered to extend that or not.
Because I do see, for example, Councillor Contell, who's had free parking as a mainstay in his policy platform for a while, he's, I think, trying to capitalise on the situation and trying to see it extended. So that's one point of view. I'm sure there'll be councillors with another point of view. Is it a really big hit to the budget when you don't have that parking revenue coming through?
Yes, it is, but by the same token, we have to consider how many people would be parking anyway under restricted conditions. So I know the team's provided some figures that do cater for a drop in the rate of parking, but it's how long is a piece of string? You know, is it 50% on what it normally is? Is it zero? You know, if we go back into lockdown again, who's really going to be needing to be parking? Because if there's nobody going into work. So that's all part of the discussion that we're having, and it's an ongoing discussion, and, yeah, quite passionate people.
Now, I see the council's getting behind plastic-free July, but one thing I did note that was of interest is as soon as this pandemic hit, the first things to go were all of the sort of reusable things that we have, like reusable coffee cups, the metal straws, and we sort of had a bit of a return to plastic because that's really the only way to do it in a hygienic way.
Yeah, true. Although there are still, you know, you can still say no to straws, and you can still, you know, use a reusable drink bottle and take non-plastic bags to the supermarket and those things. So there's still all things that can be done. Yeah, so I think the cups, you can take your mug instead of a keep cup. Yeah, there are definitely things people can still do. We're encouraging people to do that. The Plastic Free July campaign is well and truly being promoted by the City of Greater Geelong. So I think we all just need to become conscious, don't we, and think about it before we take a bag. If we just buy one item, you know, you can always say, no, I get a little surge of pride when I say, no, I don't need a bag, thanks, and just carry things home with no bag. So, yeah, every little bit does make a difference.
It's a pretty bold ambition, though, to go completely plastic-free. Isn't it?
Yeah, but you know, everything's possible. We need to be able to reuse as much as we can. You know, the plastic felt in the road resurfacing is very popular and obviously working well for us, so there's as many opportunities we can take to limit the damage done by plastic, the better, I think.
Now, Bowen Coast dog control orders, tell us about that.
Yeah, look, this is an interesting one. They came up for our consideration at the end of May meeting, and we decided that we thought, I think it was general consensus, was they were pretty sensible, pretty logical, but we did decide that the proposed dog-free beach, so the banning of dogs year-round at Ocean Grove Main Beach, was probably the only sticking point for us. And we instead suggested that while they continue to prohibit dogs in summer, just having dogs on leash during winter in that section was probably a reasonable compromise. Bowen Coast hasn't found that to be acceptable, so they're coming back to us to talk about it. But we certainly, they want to know what our rationale was for it, and certainly we feel that there's enough dog-free areas in peak periods in summer as it is, and we felt that it was a fairly balanced decision. One of the things that I questioned was, why would you have a dog-free beach abutting the dog all-year-round beach? That was one issue that I raised repeatedly, and also the fact that if everybody has to interrupt their walk from the dog beach to the Bowen Heads Bridge and take their dog up the stairs and on the path, there'd be an awful lot of dogs on leads on the stairs and on the paths, which is probably going to create quite a bit of conflict and safety issues. So there were good reasons for us reconsidering that, but I thought it's probably worth putting it out there because I don't think our reasoning was really taken up by the media. I think Bowen Coast has come out and put some comments in letters to the editor, etc. So we'll probably have a further conversation with Bowen Coast about that.
I see. I'm not a dog owner, so it doesn't mean very much to me, but you're saying that Bowen Heads is dog-free and they're proposing that Ocean Grove says you can't have dogs at all. Is that right?
No. Bowen Coast runs the dog orders and council actually enforces them, so it's up to us to say yes or no to their dog orders. And they've proposed a dog-free area right at the front of Ocean Grove Main Beach all year round, and we said no, only during summer. During the winter, the dogs can be there, but they have
because
to be
it's a very different beach in summer to winter in terms of the number of people around and congregating, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's quite busy at the moment because we have some beautiful weather, but even so, it's a very big beach. Dogs on leads are fine, don't pose a safety concern. So thought it was a fair compromise.
Dogs on leads, it's a very different situation to dogs just running rampant as well, at least in my experience as a pedestrian walking past.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely right.
And a community satisfaction survey conducted by Delwoop. What do the results say?
Yeah, well, we did quite well. Geelong actually showed a trend of improvement, which was really good because it's certainly since the return of the elected council. So satisfaction was as low as 54% in 2018 following administration, and it's gone up to 60 now. So we're pretty happy that the community satisfaction results are showing positive signs, and our customer service rating has also remained strong at 73%, up from 70 in 2018. So that was just a really nice good news story, and good news for both the council and the city offices as well, that people are appreciating what we do. And weirdly, sealed roads and unsealed roads were two of the highest areas of success benchmarked against the statewide average. We were doing really well in those areas. So we're getting the potholes right, Mitchell, which is great.
So it's quite a detailed survey. It looks at all aspects of council performance, does it?
That's right, it does. So, our success areas were the sealed roads and unsealed roads, tourism development, art centres and libraries, customer service, recreational facilities, and the appearance of public areas. And we needed to lift our game a little bit in waste management, which you'd not probably surprised by, given the recycling crisis during the time. Environmental sustainability, which we knew was an area of weakness, which is why we've got our framework for success and big action plan going on in that area. And parking facilities was another one. So that's a consistent topic of conversation, obviously.
Well, if you extend free parking, maybe people have a different view.
That's right. And look, it's very topical and it is populist. We understand that. But I think it'll be a really interesting discussion tonight to see all the different viewpoints on it for sure.
It certainly will be. Councillor, thanks for being on the program. We'll talk to you again in a fortnight's time.
My pleasure. Look forward to it. Thanks, Mitchell.
Thank you very much. Councillor Stephanie Asher joining us there. And it's a bit tough with the council because as far as I know, they can't actually say how they're going to vote before they go into the chamber.
The Mitchell's Front Page podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 to 11. Or search for Mitchell's Front Page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you get your podcasts.